when the end of recession does not feel like it.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by United Healthcare, with information on doctors, treatment options, and cost estimates for patients to make educated health decisions, online at uhc.com.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. I could read a headline that Spain has just emerged from its 2 years of recession. The National Statistics Institute there has detected a tiny bit of growth, but that wouldn't tell the story of one of Europe's top five economies, 13th in the world overall, just behind Australia. The BBC's Pascal Harter is in Barcelona. Morning, Pascal.
Good morning, David.
So it says here Spain is emerging from recession. Does it feel that way?
No. You know, 26% unemployment, what that actually feels like is that the social contract is broken. You know, you're talking about young couples who've now spent their savings, left the home that they bought. And I'm talking here about handing over the keys to the bank, but still having to pay the debt because there aren't the same bankruptcy walkaway laws in Spain as there are in America.
So, Pascal, you lose the asset, yet it's still your duty to pay back the debt.
What they call it here, the campaigners, is financial genocide, because they say that, you know, a whole swathe of society is then disencouraged really from getting a job, earning any money, because any money that they do get, they'll have to pay towards a home that they no longer own. And so these young families have to move in with their parents. So the grandparents are using their pensions often to pay debts of their children.
I see, grasping at straws almost, inflation is practically non-existent in Spain. I guess there's that.
But the figures and the kind of reality when you go to the shops don't match up. Things have got more expensive. And Spaniards, you know, who celebrate their food when the horse meat scandal erupted, instead of there being a scandal, people said, oh, yes, it's much cheaper. And lots of programs were on television about how to cook with horse meat.
Fascinating. The BBC's Pascal Harter in Barcelona. Thank you very much.
Thank you, David.
Now let's check the stock numbers. After the Dow went up 111 points yesterday, 0.7%, futures for the U.S. stock indices are up this morning, 0.25% in the case of the S&P future. The FT 100 in London is up 0.4%. Federal Reserve policymakers meet today. The stock folks generally love the continued stimulus the Fed's doing. The insurance industry and others who depend more on fixed income from the bond market wouldn't mind the higher interest rates that would come if the stimulus were tapered down.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Fox Searchlight Pictures, presenting 12 Years a Slave, the true story of a man who overcame more than a decade of injustice to reclaim his freedom. Now playing. By Allianz, providing solutions to help grow and protect retirement income through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com. And by Constant Contact, offering small businesses online tools like social media, event, and email marketing from one login. Learn more at ConstantContact.com.
Now let's talk about how people of color are sometimes treated shopping at fancy stores. The lawsuits are flying after a black college student says he was stopped by New York police after buying a $350 Ferragamo belt at Barney's. The Reverend Al Sharpton is threatening a boycott of Barney's. An actor from the HBO series Tremé says he was searched after buying his mother a $1,000 Movado watch. Joining us to talk about accusations of racial profiling in retail and how money is lived across cultures is Carmen Wong Ulrich. She's a professor of behavioral economics and the new host of one of the other APM programs that we're proud of, Marketplace Money. Carmen, welcome.
Thank you, David.
So tell us about the backlash that these cases are already causing.
Well, this really is a branding issue, right? So we have some really big stores, Macy's and Barney's, who now, but shoppers of color, who frankly set a lot of the trends that are sold in these stores, really feel alienated. But in terms of consumers and people, I have to tell you that this happens to me and has happened to me all my life. Security follows me. People assume that I'm going to return things. And it just happened 2 weeks ago. And for folks out there to know that I'm a Latina of Dominican descent from New York, the assumption is that I can't afford my purchases.
You were in a fancy New York department store. And what happened?
I was followed by security, and I'm looking at the other female shoppers who are not of color. No one's following them around. And the assumption at the register was that I was going to wear the dress I was buying and try to return it. So they made sure to make very clear to me that they have this tag, that that tag is not there. You cannot return it. And I'm like, yes, I understand. Yes. And I just realized it. I can't tell you how much I wanted to say, ladies, just Google me.
And look, I can see it in your face, right? You're not going to go back there anytime soon, are you?
You know, probably not. You got to understand that there is this culture that people of color cannot afford these things. And I have to say, it's like a tax. And this has been studied as well by economists. If you are of color, in terms of wanting to present yourself at a certain level, for example, I would never go shopping without makeup, hair done, and dressed really well. I have to do that to get any respect. And it costs people of color more just in life in general.
Now, in the case of Rob Brown, the actor, and Barney's, the CEO of that department store offered his sincere regret and deepest apologies and has hired a civil rights expert. But you see this as part of really a larger issue.
Within the urban community, the assumption is that you can buy status. So these kids grow up around these department stores, and all they want with their first paycheck, such as that young man who spent $350, which was his real crime, on a belt, to get something that conveys status, because it's something that they feel like they can actually buy, as opposed to they feel like everything is against them in terms of getting a college degree and actually advancing in the workplace. Buying that $350 belt was instant status for this guy. So what I have to do when I talk to urban youth is say, who are you making rich? Are you making that brand rich? And is that what you want to do? Or do you want to really be rich? Do you want to appear wealthy? Or do you want to be wealthy?
Carmen Wong Ulrich is the new host of our program, Marketplace Money, and will appear here every 2 weeks on The Morning Show. Carmen, thank you.
Thank you so much, David.
Over at Marketplace Money, they have a fine new website as well. You can send Carmen a voicemail question there, connect to her on Facebook, or check out some intense personal finance conversations going on online. It's marketplacemoney.org. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Did you know there's a professional association that specializes in scaring you?
They do have a trade group and a big trade show with about 8,000 buyers a year that are all professional exhibitors.
Yes, there is. Boo, I'm Kai Rizdahl, the Haunted Attraction Association. Next time on Marketplace, it's from APM.